walk in the blood, yeah. I can see clearly. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Another bow. Somebody just got shot. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Tell me, can you hear?
Another block, cop, don't get cops, gunshot, another body drop. Grandma waiting at the bus stop, county jail letter in the mailbox. House shoes, sweat socks, Keisha braided heads on the porch. To get that extra guap, eviction face the rock bottom. Pray she bounce back on top. American dream, a nightmare, please make it stop. Neighbors watching, hell, modern day dress. God clinging rock, black boy, white tank top. Baggy jeans, dreadlocks, streaming of that drop top. Non-stop, Chinese spot, and let me get a black and mild hawk. Navigate, liquor stores, project floors, and vacant lots. We be the have-nots, when we have, we become what we got. Another car ride, box to some knots. That new shit, pedestrians jot. Hip-hop corner, stay a track in the flock. The pain immaculate watch, single mother's hustle. To punch the time clock, crime a cat crop. Somebody running the dime drops. Ice grills, mask a kind heart. As time stocks, fathers are holograms. Sons waiting for the day to snuff Uncle Sam. Why not? No sympathy for that man. He get what he deserved, damn. I said he get what he deserved, y'all. Look. And he get what he deserve, y'all. They keep telling me. Body found in the attic, contents of a purse scattered. Left over, re-shattered, clothes tattered, lipstick smeared. Broken glass, no news reports on the matter. Nobody gathered, nothing changed, asked around about her name. Some said Tamika, some claimed Lorraine. The tag on the foot said Jane. I wonder who she was, did she give and receive love? Did she fight back or just gave up? She lay dead, legs cold, hair gold. Framed in the child's pose, bruised nose. Seeming say pantyhose, shot day on the radio. Sorrow singer through the window. I wonder if pain has a tempo, I bet it's slow. Street survive, never live, then we die. Drink the bird glass, ceiling higher. Born on the wrong side, is there a right side? Classified, I label sober, nickel and dime. And who decides? I lied by sign in order down the line. They see they gentrified, push us outside the city lines. Sirens frame the evening, profile for being non-white. Breathing, walking the streets, bored cops, they fiending. Probable reason, no donut shops, the season roll up. On a couple cats, bandits speaking. Mexicans, but they screaming Puerto Ricans. They thinking they all the same, fuck them. Blow out their brains, killing season. It's 1 hour, wish they could take us all out. Let the dogs out, niggas should be hanging from trees. Auction off now, load them up, blast until they all down. Fire shots in full force now, they never see the courthouse, y'all. They never see the courthouse, y'all. They never see the courthouse, they never see the courthouse, they never see it. Hey, and something keeps telling me. I heard my brother say.
I can't see.
dropped today on the block. Somebody just got shot today on the block. Look, y'all, watch today on the block. Today on the block. Today on the block. Another body dropped. Somebody just got shot today on the block. Look, y'all, watch today on the block. Today on the block. Today, another body dropped. Somebody just got shot. Look, y'all, watch today. Another body dropped. Somebody just got shot. Look, y'all, watch today on the block. Today on the block. Today on the block.
Good day, good day. Good day, everyone. How are you? This is Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am your temporary host for this moment in time. We are now in the midst of Bad Boys. Why are boys to men dying so soon? This program is presented by the Rotunda at the University of Pennsylvania in partnership with Maurice Henderson and Master Real Radio. Right now, we're working to tie into the Zoom that is going on now. It is live. If you like to visit the Zoom, go to bit.ly/BOD YZ, and again, that is bitly.ly/, and it's uppercase R, lowercase EG, the number 4, uppercase BOD, and then uppercase B, lowercase OYZ. So that's Reg for Bod, BOD, Boys, BOYZ. If you go there, you can log into the live Zoom. And we're going to play a little music while we call into the Zoom, and you'll be able to listen in as well. We just got finished listening to Walking the Block by Kuanaru, and that featured another young lady, and we'll get her name soon. But while we're waiting to get in, we're going to go to Believe by Meek Mills featuring Justin Timberlake.
You know, I still believe it.
How we gon' follow our dreams locked in a prison? They try to swallow me whole, God be my witness. Deprive me out of my dreams, but I'm relentless. I want the money, ain't never want attention. So I don't pay attention to comments and all the mentions, cause they ain't see my vision. I was washing dishes till my rats turned into riches. Glad when it was Christmas. We ain't even barely get presents, but we was gifted. In a school of failure, we present perfect attendance. Welfare, baby, we working, what would they give us? Made me some comments, judge still gave me a sense. No period, city girls don't get scared. When it's really real, when your bank account 20 mil in your house. Up on a hill in your phantom, in the driveway you walk out and see the grill, thank God you believe. Make sure you pray when you kneel.
You know, I still believe it.
Was on super zero. Ain't never panic, I'm a superhero. Target my goals and I'ma shoot the arrow. When God turned the heat up on me, he sent you De Niro. Play your part, got some brains like Scarecrow. Let's play it smart, cause we ain't playing checkers, this is chess. Play your pawns, sit back like a king when they move, make your mark. And never ever let your competition take your heart. Say I believe in myself, when everybody stop believing, never leave on yourself. They had my back against the wall, I had to lean on myself. Almost made me put my dreams on the shelf, I'm tripping. Laws of attraction, you just think I'm rapping. I'm just putting out the energy so I can grab it. Everything that's in my memory that I imagine is finally here, 100 million in a year.
I feel you need to believe it. My face in the dirt on the ground till I raise up to take back the crown, yeah.
Okay, again, we just got finished listening to Believe by Meek Mill, and now we're going to put on we're going to do Chosen by Afik, and this was a song that was on Songland. It didn't get picked as a winning song, but it's a great song. This is again for our brothers.
Show me what to love, what to hunt, what to fight, what to kill for.
Okay, again, okay, guys. We're going to listen to some good music. Now, this Zoom is going to go on, and the show is here for 120 minutes. So for our first half hour or so, we are going to be rocking music while we work. We had some technical difficulties, and we're working things around. So we're in three spaces. We've actually been doing some phenomenal things in order to stay on the Zoom, manage the Zoom as well as this show. But in the meantime, you know, I have some great things here for you to listen to. That, again, we are empowering that male spirit. And so we just, you know, we're going to move on. Next, we are going to listen to Getting Started. This is Hobbs and Shaw. Again, another, this is Aloe Black song that was produced on Songland. This is the one he chose. This was a winning song. So, and we'll be right back.
This ain't for the money. This is for the love. This is sweating through my shirt before the sun's up. Thought that I was shook. Thought that I would stop, but now I got them waiting for the other shoe to drop. Oh, I'm a flame burning bold in a world that's so cold. I'm just getting started. I've been making moves before.
Work with beginner's love. If I fall first, then lift me up. Never call curtain. Common courtesy. Curiosity, it killed the kitty, but it got to work for me. And it readily I manifested something great, but it stood on the terminal to fade. I'ma turn the tables from the cradle to the grave. Heavy weight, leg day, steady pray. Heavy head, wears crown, way down every day. Here now, make a way clear, foul main chain, breaking out the crazy house. So whatever them people were saying about me, hit the lever, you not on my level. The engine is revving already. I'm ready, I swear you gon' care about me.
I'm just getting started.
We're going to break in to allow you to listen in to the ongoing Zoom. Right now, Hezekiah Davis is speaking. And again, this is Bad Boys. Why are boys to men dying so soon?
My sister, her and her friends did a social environment study,
okay.
Which I'll explain later. It's crazy, but I made an album called I Predict the Riot just from her studies. And I made this album in 2007, and I predicted what we had today because, like we were saying, as everybody on here has mentioned, cause and effect. What people focus on is the effect. They don't focus on the cause.
Right.
And why? Because what happened? You know what I'm saying? What happened?
I'm glad you said that. It's always the, man, what do you, you know, why did you do that? You know, what's going on in the brain instead of trying to understand what made you want to do something? Like to be able to ask them that open-ended, simple question where they can actually think and process it. You know, it's always the brain. There he is. You know, you did it. You're going to pay for it. You know, and we got to figure out now, you know, we're in a society where we want to cancel people so fast, right? We want to throw people away so fast without really understanding or really, you know, getting to the antecedent of what it is that is causing them this pain to be able to act out. And until we remove our own veil of pride and, you know, we know what's best because we're the elders, we have to get rid of that mentality and allow them a comfortable space where we can engage collectively and collaboratively instead of like in a hierarchical kind of looking down at them. Because this young, they're not trying to hear. They'll tell you in the OG, I ain't trying to hear.
But that's, and also that's an effect too. That's a cause and effect too that I understood because I understand programming. And this, I talked to my nephew about this program of how it separated the generations. First, they separated the sexes. You can watch movies like Claudine, you know, James Earl Jones about the welfare system, how they took the man out of the house. You know what I'm saying? then these kids are, they don't even know how they're affected. First it's the slavery system, then it's the, you know, one thing after the next. Then it took the man out of the house, but then you got kids running around with testosterone, but when they were estrogen emotions, with guns, and don't know how to fight, you know what I'm saying? So they didn't have men around to teach them how to hold that testosterone in, right? So then you got the medicine. So then you got to get them drugged up, right? So then you got the drugged up. So then they have a chemical imbalance because you know what that helps. So these kids need help also within this thing. They need holistic help to center themselves, not medicine. So you're dealing with chemical imbalance. You're dealing with the home imbalance, which is carbon, which is estrogen and testosterone imbalance, right? Because that's what carbon is. Your body's made up of four minerals: nitrogen, hydrogen, carbon, and oxygen, right? So if the carbon in your body is the estrogen and nitrogen, so you're off, they're off balance, right? So then you got.
I want you to add the adrenaline with the ACTG and the way adrenaline is testing the fight or flight.
Is that in nitrogen? The amino acid?
Yeah, it's amino acid. So you got
that's nitrogen.
And the way that cold, yes, so the stress is creating more adrenaline.
All right. So, remember. We have young people coming on, so we have to prepare. So let's not overspeak them.
Meet them where they're at. It's a relationship. We have to relate.
So one thing that Ose said, we have to have outcomes. So we know that prosperity forces what we're going to use to get everybody to feel out there. We know that everybody will get the house and most magazines for free. We know that Monique has overall training that she's going to be dealing with juvenile justice. And we know that Darren has been told that he wants us to attend. Darren, can you tell us the next Men of Color meeting?
Yeah, we have another Men of Color meeting. We do it every third Thursday of the month. So we just did one not long ago. We have another one in March coming up. And it's really a really good space where, you know, we have brothers both in on Penn campus and outside. They come, and we have different topics, you know, about health, wellness, mental health, all types of issues. And we just come and talk in a space where we don't have to worry about being politically correct. We don't have to worry about being, you know, making sure that, you know, you're astute and all this other bullshit. We don't do that. You know, we want to be able to give you a space where you can be able to talk and engage, right? And that's the key. Even with young kids, we have to give them that space to engage. If we can strengthen that communication line with the kids and with the people, even the kids, the brothers upstate road, you know, but the five, if we can do that, that's what we need. They need to be heard. And then we can figure out what is the next step. What do we need to do? How can we?
And then, Dan, we thank you. We know that you have to get back to the 7 o'clock program at the University of Pennsylvania. This event is sponsored by...
That's right. You know my boss, so you know I got to get it on pop.
Yeah. right.
I want to make sure you include me in anything that you do because, you know, this is my passion. I've been doing this for, you know, day one, and I love working with kids, and I love change. I know my brother Jack Drummond is the same way. We are in a struggle, man. And right now, we are in the midst of dealing with some negative spirits around Satan. And what's happening in our communities, and we have to fight through what's happening. We can't succumb.
And what I like is that I know we have three PhD candidates. That'll be Darren, that'll be Jack, that'll be Ose. So welcome, new doctors. That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, give me maybe by May, then we can talk. It'll be a wrap. So,
right.
I appreciate you. Thank you. Have a good day. Thank you.
So let's go to Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones, are you there? My mistake. Monique, can you tell us about football training and what it is that you're doing with juvenile justice? Monique? Yeah, can you tell us what football training is doing to solve the problem with juvenile justice?
Yes. So I agree with everything that Hezekiah is saying in the teacher from Penn, I didn't catch his name, but what I will say is that I absolutely agree. I've been teaching in trade schools. I'm a workforce development
group sponsor, the first black woman to have this registration. My business is to go into schools or go into different businesses and deliver or develop different types of training programs that will be registered through the United States Department of Labor so that we can have real certification. I speak very, very seriously about, I feel like the 80 babies. I'm definitely coming from the Meek Mills era, and I hate to just use that name, but everyone understands that. We coming from the crack epidemic, and, you know, I totally comprehend everything that everyone is saying, and the relatability for conversations, in my opinion, is just not enough anymore.
Now, I don't
we
see
have
the
to
crack,
be able
not
to build We have to be able to build relationships and structure what it is that we're doing and implementation. And, you know, being compliant so that we can be allowed that implementation, so that we can come out of just a nonprofit arena and we can go and not the for-profit, like we're making money, but we just have to
talk
about this stuff, and I'm very serious about what it is that I see, because we are having a whole lot of meetings at a whole lot of different arenas. However, the implementation or the daily intake that it is to be able to love each other, to be able to understand or be able to have a conversation is very difficult for us. Did I say something wrong?
I'm sorry, but the communication thing partly is from, it was an era, you're talking about the era of the 80s, baby. What came after the 80s? So by the time the baby
the 90s. So even though we're
the 90s, what happened in the
90s? We're in millennials.
So here we go. 90s.
And it
so,
was a
so,
big communication with us.
So I'm going to tell you what happened. Okay, all right.
Sitting here telling you
what
hurt.
Okay, uh-huh. Everyone stop. This is a conversation. Let's not overtalk each other. So Monique, that's what it is. And so let's not try to do a debate. And so let's do a give and take and a conversation so that we can share information, come out with conclusions. Is that okay with them?
Thing is, I've been speaking for the last 7 years. The agencies that I've been working with, including myself, work with myself as well, is from 16 to probably like 60, and everybody acts the same age group or the same age level. And the goal right now is from what I'm hearing and what it is that I'm experiencing personally as I'm finding within workforce development, dealing with the state, dealing with the city, and also dealing with the federal government because we are registered for these things. One of the biggest things that we're missing is developing relationships with each other and being able to trust one another and not being able to overpower each other. So because you went to UPenn or you went to University of or Drexel or went to Temple and I went to community college or went to trade school or might have not went to school at all, we don't respect what it is that one another has to say. So these are one of the things that we literally have to work on, because as what I'm seeing, the community is literally hurting, and it's not because they're hurting each other. It's because we're lacking guidance, real guidance. Everyday guidance or everyday examples that they can see in their life or relatable. So I don't want to get too much into it, so I'll let someone else speak.
Okay. Can I answer that? Please. Okay.
Hold on. So, Darlene Robertson, can we go to you, please? Can we go to Jack?
Maurice Henderson, how are you? Keith Money.
I Keith, hold on. All right, so can we go to Jack? Okay. All right, so Keith, you have been well affiliated with the House of your militia. You're the creator of Baby Mama Drop. So tell us how it is that you are a bad boy and how you changed your life. You got 3 minutes.
I changed my life. Well, I was in a domestic situation with my daughter mother. It got out of control. I got locked up. It was going to give me a lot of time. I prayed on it. God let me go. And that was my promise to God to do the right thing and help people. So that's why I'm where I'm at today.
Mm-hmm.
That was in 10 seconds.
All right. So what would you say the cause was? Yeah, sorry.
getting locked up or whatever? It was domestic.
No. Okay. So he's asking. All right. So rephrase that, Hezekiah.
I think he answered. He said it was domestic, but it was a chain reaction.
As a child, let me back up. I only got 3 minutes, but as a child, I came from a single parent. It was me and my brother Mike. He was a professional fighter, so we used to kind of get out. We just take advantage of our mom. Not take advantage, but we used to go out and do things. Mm-hmm. And we end up used to get in trouble a lot. But, as I got older, I grew. I got myself in a situation. That's how I changed my life around. So mm-hmm. I told myself that my life didn't belong to me no more. It belonged to God, because I thought they got a lot of time. And he looked out for me, got me out of that situation. So all I do now, anything he put in me, I blow life into it. Or I try to anyway. But I mostly get it done, most of it. So I own a construction company. I got TV program I have. I'm working on another TV show. So anything he put in me is just a thing that I think that I have to blow life into it.
But Nas said to Beanie Siegel when he was battling Beanie, he said, "Yo, y'all fucking up. We are not state property. We are God's property."
And of course, Keith knows about that. Keith and I are from South Korea. Close near Cedar Street. But let me tell you this. So we do have on the cast of Oh God, Please Send Me Through Right Man. We do have on the cast of The Young Black Gifted Rap. We do have on the cast of Baby Mama Drop. Of course, Rob was on one of your business cast members. Ose came in and was driving 30 and shut it down about We Can't Be Saved. But Keith, tell us about what was your impetus and starting creating. Now, Baby Mama Drop was a talk show, a television series,
documentary,
a play, a merchandise, and a book. And that's where Sister Kalani got her start. But don't get it twisted.
Oh, yeah, my daughter got that there. We had it in there. She played in there. So that's where she started out.
So tell us about,
it came from the situation of me owing God a favor. And, once again, I ended up in child support, which I was a good dad. But as I was sitting there, I asked myself, what can I do to pay God back? As I was sitting there going through that situation, I said, bring families together. What's better way than teaching families out of dysfunction? And that's where Baby Mama Drama was. That's when the birth came.
I want to go to Kenneth Davenport. Kenneth, can you hear me? Kenneth.
Hey, but Maurice, a lot of things that, when God gives us these ideas, a lot of us don't have the finances to keep it going. So you really got to invest in yourself. So, and that's another way I was able to get it done, because I did my own construction. I was my own boss. So I couldn't take orders from nobody. So I became my own boss.
All right. All right, Maurice, I'm here.
So, Kenny, I know it was like a while ago. You told us about preparedness and nutrition. What's your take on what the young folks know about preparedness and nutrition?
Cut the speaker off, Pat. Hi, Maurice.
So you thought this whole thing about preparedness, safety, and nutrition.
I'm on the program, Pat.
Right. So, what's your idea about what young folks need to know about preparedness, safety, and nutrition?
I know time is limited, so I didn't even think I'd get a real chance to focus in on a whole lot. But the most important thing I can tell everybody for this group is that by working with these young people on the street right now, there's three major things that must be done to save our young people. Number one, we must create an economic system that just is specifically focused for the young people. From age about 8 years old to 18, there should be a complete, separate, total economic system that young people are taught how to use their skills and to help their families, to be an asset to the family from the time they're 8 years old until the time they're 18. adult, there should be a system that these young people can count on to get the materialistic things they want out of this society, other than from cheating, robbing, and stealing from whoever is in their close environment, which is their family, friends, and their community.
Teaching the difference between what they need as material and what they want.
We need to start an economic system where a young man is brought in when he turns 8 years old, and it should be operating already in the school system. But the third thing I was suggesting that we have to do is we want to have an individual created in our society that does not exist right now. It's a total unique idea of intentionally creating someone in our society that have no purpose in our unique society other than to take an adult from the time he is created in the mother's womb and to watch over that child throughout the time until they're 18 years old and released out in our society as an adult. There should be something that never existed before because there never was a need like there is now before. Now that technology and communication and transportation can take somebody across the whole country in 5 or 6 hours, a young person is, can make that, never in history could a young person go from California to New York on their own or even a jet plane or anything else. It just didn't exist in 4 or 5 hours. It's bringing young people into the society, but the society needs to upgrade the resources that a child has. So I propose as part of my plan, we create what I've called the community resource officer. It's, their job is to function in our society only to bring the children to be a caretaker, is separate from the mother, father, the state. They have no responsibility and answerable to nobody other than to whatever they do to deal with that child. And this is something that doesn't exist right now that we absolutely must have. And then the third thing is to, right now, to deal with the young people out here right now, the males that have died, two things there. Number one, from birth. We already know for a fact that this healthcare system, especially in Florida, the entire criminal justice department in the United States of America needs to look at the state of Florida. It is impossible for a study that just came out, released by Northwestern University, to say that 3 times as many black babies die if the doctor is a white doctor with a white nurse. That's impossible. In any situation, it's impossible for there to be a statistic of 3 times the number of black babies dying if the doctor and nurse is white than if the doctor and nurse is of any other color. That's impossible other than criminal intent. I know I'm an expert in this. But for the other young men out here right now, the main thing they need from us is a massive movement of all the black elders to get these young black men rehab services, rehab. Half of the reason why the young men that are out here between the age of 20 to 35 dealing with any of these drugs out here is they all been in prison. That's the main thing they have in common. But the other thing is they are all fixed on opioids. Every single one of these guys is selling drugs out here that's over 21 years of age. The ones that are doing it from 16, 17, 18, they're just trying to copy and come behind the older ones as an economic way to make money. But the older ones are all, I see it every day I deal with all of them right here on the street in Philadelphia. Every single one is addicted to drugs. None of them have jobs or any income. The only way that they can support their habits right now without killing all of us out here is to buy 20 of these tabs or pills and sell 10, and the other 10 they need for their habit every single day. And the only thing that these young guys are scared about here is having to go through rehab. They all want to go through rehab. Every single one of them wants to go through rehab. Every single one of them wants to be the man that goes through rehab.
Okay. Yes. All right. So now, folks, let's hold our comments to 2 minutes so that we can move. Jerome Fordham is on the line. And he is on the spot. because I told the author, if y'all want y'all book to be distributed, he is the one to go to. He's owner operator of Fred's Bookstore. He is a distributor. And so when Ose says, I need some books. He's a black kid. We get that. And then I had to call. I said, I don't know what to talk. He said, you know, because he's a natural black artist. And I'm sitting there. And Ose called me. He said, listen, wow. Tell Jerome, I got a hookup. And so I really didn't know what was going on. And so Jerome said, he said, listen, I went by the facility school. He met the president. He met everybody. And I said, he said, oh, Nathan John. I said, I had no idea. He said, listen, I got to go teach a class. I said, what did you teach a class? He said, ain't that what we're supposed to be doing? And yes, it is. And so it could be online. For those who are from making the black institutions, making university, it's good to be online with my senior college from U.S. of Penn, faculty, staff, nonprofit, to the men of color. Now, it's good to be online with Ose Protege, Robert Davis. That's how I know it's doing. And that's how we got to start doing the Young Gifted and Black with rap. But Jerome, if we need books to explain the state of condition about young people, what do you think that we should be doing? Like, so what you give to Ose to make him throw down? Because it's cool, right? Like, they're all into it now. Thank you, Ose.
He gave me every book you can imagine. We have books on everything. I mean, from Emmett Till to Destruction of the Black Civilization by Chancellor Williams. He didn't miss a spot. And the one of the things that, you know, was important to see that the children gravitated to the book. And for those who weren't readers, they was curious. Those who were readers, they grabbed books and bringing them back. And I think it's the importance of having our children read and kind of disconnect from social media. It's very important because it expands the mind, it expands their vocabulary. It calms them down too, especially when you can have a discussion with them. I think one of the most important things, I think we have to relate to our children where they're at and not be afraid about it. You know, I think we definitely have to sit down, be quiet, and listen to them. And once we do that, then we take our experience and help them navigate do what they go through. Because I think school is a safe place for a lot of them. And I talked to a young man today, and he said, I seem cool when I'm here and I relate to everybody, but at home, struggling, I don't even have a bed to sleep in. You know, sometimes I don't even eat. He said, but I don't bring that onto y'all, but on the inside, I'm struggling with that. So, and just the trust of that alone is important, because we need them to open up and not close up. And the books that Jerome actually brought to us, over 1,000 books, is having them open up more.
And then it's one thing that I want to say. So Monique has her own book. Monique, I really want you to refer to your own book. We also have on my Fashia X, who's from Boys Magazine. So Fashia, you're going to need these books in your school. Fashia is a newly appointed president of the Association of African Americans. He is my mentee, so to speak. And so let's go to Jerome. Tell us, like, this exchange that you had, Ose, We are so proud of all of your accomplishments. We are so proud you and Jack working on your PhD. Stunning. Remarkable. We are so proud of what it is that you and Jack have done and working with Boarding School, Private School, Independent School. We are proud and we thank you all because you all show that wherever you come from determines your destination. Jerome?
Thank you so much, Professor. I want to thank you for the opportunity just to share because you made it all possible for being the kind of professor and man and mentor who you are. We met over 20 years ago, and when you walk into my bookstore, you walk into my office and sat on my computer like you own the place. When you tell me, when you said you put University of Penn, I know that's the school my wife went to the law school there. I said, well, I know I'm in good company. So I said, listen, I just felt free. I felt relaxed, and we hit it off from there, and we've been friends ever since. And it was a pleasure for me to go to this school and meet the staff with Mr. Johnson there. I enjoyed the people. I enjoyed him. He was a great staff of people. And you talk about humble folks who just want to get the job done. We worked hard to please them. We went there to see what the need was. And because what we do, we work in people's vision. We want to know what their vision is and how we can fit into their vision, what they want, what they see happen, what they want to see happen. So we go there as a listening part first to where what they want and how we could fit into that. And that's what we did. And we just hope and pray that they were pleased with our success because we worked hard. And all those few months, we got them what they wanted. It took a little minute, but we got them everything they wanted. And I hope and pray that they are pleased with our success and our effort. It's all because of this one Professor Maurice Henderson. If it wasn't for Professor Maurice Henderson, we wouldn't be where we are today. I thank God for you, Maurice Henderson. I pray for you all the time. I pray for James Johnson and your school to be successful. And anybody that blesses me, I pray every morning that God bless them continually. Bless them and their family as they go through the struggle of life that we are all going through now. Thank you for this time to share. I appreciate that. And anybody I can help with books or anything, just let us know. And we'll be glad to come and just fit into your vision with which you want to get done for your students. But our thing is every child read. We want kids to read. When you read, you can lead. When you read, you know. When you know, you can grow. When you grow, you can go. Because if you don't know, you can't go. You can't grow. It's a bad thing to be in a car and then all of a sudden, the rail going to a train track and the rail sign come down to stop. You keep on going. You don't know what that means. That's a bad thing. So we want you to read, comprehend the read, and get understanding of what you're reading with and reading on. But there's all the other people.
There's a Karis one song you would like called the book song. And he just counts out all kinds of books that people, he recommends all these books to read, but he says it in a rap.
And then, so, Hezekiah,
yeah.
Let me give you a hint. I'm trying to get the rap to put their letters in a book. Osei was around, and Rob was around. They appeared to Jill Stout. And Jill Stout came out with a thing. I'm not mistaken. Jill Stout comes from NASA Black Art Book. And so was Black Eyed. So Jill Stout was one of the first neo soul artists to do a book. And then, of course, you know, if we do a book, that has to be stopped being famous and get all this stuff into a book so we can get and Osei, he's a neo soul, because now he needs to stop playing because he sings. Never heard that before. So this is what I'm saying. This is our option. Kehlani, her lyrics needs to be in the book so we can get them to the school. Bashe, are you there? I think Bashe is on hold. And Douglas Rucker. Douglas? So, wait, hold on. Shaheen Shields. Shaheen. So I think books are coming on from some people are.
Can I recommend a book for the youngsters?
No, wait. Only if it comes to Jerome.
Does he have conspiracy to destroy black boys?
Okay, that's my book. Right, so any book that we're talking about, he has rolled through the room. That's what we're talking about. Monique. Monique, Jerome is on the line. He is a book distributor. So whatever books you need for overall training, please work with him.
I would absolutely love that. We have a radiology book and a career development book that is just about finished. And I would love to get it done as soon as possible. So, you know, whatever it is that you need from me so that we can push this forward, it would be a blessing.
Okay, and then so I have publishers because Jerome is not. I haven't pushed him towards publishing as of yet, but that may be in the future. Never knows. But then, you know, so what I'm saying, like, for those that come on for a Boys Land, for those that come on for the Children Shelton CDC, we need to have libraries. Have to start creating libraries. Jose has done a wonderful job. And the whole idea about life. Now, I'm gonna put the envelope just a little bit, Jack, and I got. So, tell us how the idea of diversity, inclusion, and multiculturalism plays a life in young folks. Yeah. So Jack, you got to mention your job. That's how you are. Great, Jack. The bad stuff.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question? How does it play out in the life?
All right. So tell us how your idea of diversity, inclusion, and multiculturalism plays a life in young people.
I think, in short, really DEI, DEIA, DEIB, you know, belonging. All these different letters and words and that sort of thing, it boils down to really kind of getting people at the table and getting people in seats, you know, to transform what's going on currently, what's been going on for years and years. But one thing that I wanted to point out, and this doesn't speak directly to the question that you asked, but I wanted to point it out, you know, quite often when we have these types of conversations around, you know, violence, I don't generally get that we, and when I say we, I'm talking about melanin and rich folks, you know, are talking about it from a balanced perspective. I know that, you know, we approach it from a deficit perspective, you know, and in my, you know, I guess my understanding, violence is in some forms a natural phenomenon of humanity. Now, the choices that we make to be violent and how we're being violent, and many of us, whether it's young folks or folks, you know, who are more experienced, you know, is a different thing. So I think we could, you know, talk about that. But I don't ever hear us talk about this balance perspective and when violence is actually good to you within our communities. Many things that we've accomplished over the years, you know, and the shoulders that we stand on has been birthed out of violence, you know, okay. In many ways. And hold on, Kyle, real quick. Many ways, shape, form, and fashion. You feel me? So I think that that's one thing that we kind of need to, you know, like at least approach, you know, this balanced perspective. In my estimation, balance is power. So don't necessarily just talk about it from the deficit-based, you know, perspective. Talk about how it can be used for its good as well. Because there's some good elements to violence, you know, if it's used in strategy, you know, sort of strategic ways. Also, that I think that we need to understand our lane. Quite often, many of us are doing lots of things, whether it's for ourselves, our families, our communities, the youth, et cetera, and a lot of times we don't feel like we're accomplishing much, you know, but we are in many regards, you know. Understanding your lane, just because you're not getting, you know, blown up on social media or publicly recognized or awarded and all these sorts of things, does not mean that you aren't doing things incrementally to change what's going on and to transform what's going on. So I think that that's something we need to take into perspective as well, our lanes. And I think that leads into a deeper discussion of this, what I'm going to call, I guess, right now, a culture of violence, right? So one thing, when I think about culture, I think about five, you know, elements. You know, I think about language. I think about food. I think about ritual, religion. I think about aesthetic and I think about the arts. And when we talk about it again, we need to really transform our language. A lot of us have been saying the same things about violence, you know, since we learned about it, if you will. Quite often, the food that we eat, our health, our wellness, our mental wellness, et cetera, either promotes or discourages, you know, violence and violent thoughts. So that's another discussion, you know, and another lane that people might be in terms of ritual and religion. You know, we're a product of many things that are going on in the quote-unquote religious world, but in terms of rituals, the things that we do on a daily basis need to be explored. Aesthetically, you know, in terms of how we look, we're still fighting a fight, whether you can wear locks to work or, you know, and all this other nonsense that, you know, we bring certain things aesthetically to various environments, and I think that that either promotes or discourages this understanding of violence that we're in as well. And then the arts, I think, which can be used as a transformative, you know, model for, you know, our understanding around violence as well. So anyway, again, like I said, to make a long story bearable, DEI, BEIB, and all these other sorts of terms and, you know, terminologies fit comfortably within the conversation about bringing people to the table. But I also think that we need to kind of change our ways in terms of how we approach it.
Oh, this is Jack. My Catholic brother, you're holding back some. You are really, really holding back. All right, so, hey, Vachier. Vachier.
Yes.
Are you online? So I want you to know. So now you got a book distributor. You got speakers. I told you. I want to send in one of my folks to be one of the speakers for your graduation. You got to make this. So this is Vachier, my mentee from Boys Latin. He is the newly appointed president of the Association of African American Young Folks. I'm not African American Young Entrepreneurs. So he named five schools that he wanted to attend. And I said, for his list of all the alumni, call him up and let's get on and pop. So I was at Boys Latin, and for 2 weeks, it didn't go well. And but I said this, maybe you should be doing something else. And this something else really is that I've been going with him for a while, Bashir. It's been since August. That's going on 6 months. So, Bashir, I'm going to thank you for being my mentee. I met him when he was 17. I told him, wait till you get 21. Life's a change. I've been told that some people don't want to release ideas about their life. Now, my kid's a father, and he's also now he's a leader, his father, and he's going to college, and he's also playing sports. He's going to. My kid?
Yes.
All right. So this thing about young folks, because at your school, so many young folks have died at Boys Latin. Why? What's going on?
I don't know. To be honest, I think the way that, you know, the way that we are brought up in today's society is different from the way you guys are brought up. Granted, killings still happen the same way, but I think killings are, you know, taking off at a higher rate. And I think the thing that plays a big part in it is social media, you know, the way that everybody could just post something and, you know, tag somebody or just tag their location and say where they're at, and like 1,000 or 100,000 of people could just see it all at once, plays in a big factor. Like, I've seen it in my face where someone posts someone their story and post location, then like probably 10 minutes later, people pull up like, hey, yo, I caught you now, blah, 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 and it got bad. So I think the reason why a lot of murders and all that stuff happen is because of social media. But as far as my school, though, like, since I've been there, it's been, what, like, people that died from gun violence, one from suicide. Ever since I've been there, two of my friends were killed in the past year or two from gun violence. So it's definitely weighed heavy at my school. To be honest with you, I don't think we can stop this rate of killing. And at best, we can try to do is contain it. Because over the pandemic, once everyone was able to get a lot of free money, especially from PUA and PPP loans and stuff like that, no matter what you did to get it, you know, you got it. Instead of using it for good, people took that money and opportunities to, you know, buy guns and stuff like that. And when they bought guns, they gave it to young people, and then that spread to the, you know, the killing. That's why we broke 1,000 murders for the last 2 years, something that my dad and my grandfather has never seen. You know, so I feel as though as far as, you know, stopping gun violence, I don't think we would never stop it. But as far as containing it, I believe that's something that we can do. I think we got to open up more group homes for kids, keep them off the street, you know, open up more rec centers to get them, you know, off the street. You know, I think rec centers is a way for us to go from basketball to football, you know, keep us busy instead of being on the streets and killing people. So I think that's something that we can do.
I hear, you know, I don't mean to cut it in, because what you're saying is the point that needs to be driven. And it's the point, one of the points that I've been trying to drive for the last 2 years now. You are absolutely correct, young man. I'm really sorry to hear that you had to witness so many of your brothers, you know, death or murder, you know, in front of your face. And that's not something that's easy to take in, you know, when it's back to back like that. So I just want to apologize for our irresponsibility of listening to each other so that we can diffuse the actual situation in our environment. And one of those things is just the operation of debate. The operation of debate, because everyone is trying to figure it out. We're all trying to figure it out, the code of what it is that's going to take. And I appreciate you just being around every time that you're around. It's the third or fourth time that I have saw you, and you have always been very consistent. So I just want to let you know that I appreciate that you're reaching out, and I pray that everything that we're doing will be able to help remedy what it is that's going on now. I want to give you some encouragement last year, because we're working very diligently, especially with overall training, in order to create an environment that's going to be safe for you. An environment that's not, the debate is not up for debate. We know that you guys need three things. The PUA money does not last. We know that we need skills. We know that we need training. And we know we need sustainability for our community. We know. But we also need healing. We all need a whole bunch of love.
And discipline.
Well, thank you so much, Marie. I want to extend an invitation because when you reach 90 years, then you have a lot of memory recollection. And that responsibility as an elder is to make sure that our culture and our history and our possibilities are passed on to not just the next generation, but their children and their children's children. So my way of actually celebrating my 90th birthday was to decide to publish a youth edition of the Emoji Magazine. And that's really what I'm going to talk about in a minute. The Emoji Magazine came out of the third Black Power Conference of 1968. It was agreed to by over 56 delegates that came to Philadelphia at that time because Black people were, we're still in danger. But at that time, we were experiencing during the late 60s that we were definitely an endangered species. And the more things change, the more they remain the same. But one of the decisions that was made at that conference was that this country kills what it does not understand. So I was in a workshop with 72 other communicators from print and electronic media, and I did not raise my hand. I want you to know that. I was sitting in the back of the classroom, so I don't know how I got plucked. But anyway, they asked me to take on the responsibility of increasing the understanding for our survival. I left that conference with a resolution to implement that for my people. And from that agreement came the publishing of Emoji Magazine, which will be celebrating its 54th anniversary in September. But we had never published a youth edition, and I thought that that would be a great way to celebrate my 90th birthday, would be to publish for our next generation of thought leaders and for our empowerment for future generations to have a magazine which would only be only those between the age 18 to 25 will be able to be published. And the question that I'm going to ask the authors is what Dr. King asked back in 1967. And his question was, where do we go from here? Chaos or community? So I'm going to ask the young writers to answer that question. I want to have the articles submitted between 1,500 to 2,000 words. And I also want the young people who are going to be published to understand clearly that the Emoji Magazine is distributed through the computer globally. So whatever is written will be not just read in Philadelphia. It will go across the country. It will go to the Caribbean islands. It will go to, of course, Africa, and also to England, where they have a large population of us as a people.
Things started. They look at the public. Okay.
somebody has to hold that. But now, Hezekiah, you hear me? Hezekiah?
As he's going to sleep.
No, he's up there.
Okay. They still with us. Okay.
Say it again? Hey, Queen Mother. Hezekiah, how you doing? Hey, now. What did you say, brother? You just said my name? I can't hear you.
He said he can't hear you.
And hi, Ms. Abdul. Yes, very nice.
You know, we have Bilal on, too, who is another one of Queen Mother's son. So,
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay.
No, that's
Let me get out.
Corey, we can hear you if you just stay in front of the screen.
Okay. All right. So I'm over here. So we're going to do the same.
I'm on this of a time. But I want to thank Jose and Rob and all of the 15 contributors that made this magazine a success. And now the word is out. And the secrets are here. I'm going to thank Rob and Ose for the performances. Kalani, I'm going to thank you for coming to the house. And Moses, our phones are ringing now. Keith, we're going to thank you for what it is that you did at before David passed away. So I really want to thank you all for what it all that you all have done for the house of Moses. We got years in now of what's going on. Kalani came to the house of the Moses, tore it down from coming in and out.
In the rain.
Right. And she said, come in clean.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, y'all clean too. And she sat there on the bed and talked to him. She said, that's me. See you soon. She's talking about herself back. Okay, so we need to get this magazine out. We need it to get it well distributed. We got food.
I have a question before you make it.
Yeah, go ahead.
So right before COVID, February 2020, I was starting a tour with Cyber School, and I performed at the National Constitution Center, and they actually, like, took the mic, and I went to sing. They said there's no singing, they're going to be talking. So that kind of, you know, intimidated me. It made me kind of want to stop a little bit. But the dean and the principal, I'm apologize to me, like, played along with me while I sang and stuff like that. And that was the beginning of my journey for the school tour. I also performed at a few of the mastery schools and two graduations. But mainly I was just asking, what's going on with the school tours? Is there any going on? Because I'm interested in starting one, and I wanted to incorporate a T-shirt workshop and, like, showing how to make designs and, you know, bringing a few pressing machines. I basically add in curriculum if they would. I heard it was a lady on here who said she's a part of making things certified. So I think it should be some type of printing workshop, literacy, so making music class, you know, writing songs or poetry. That would help with the healing as well. But that's what I use it for. First,
okay. Hold on. Okay, we can make that happen. But Queen Mother is 90. We need to give Queen Mother the last word. Jack, are we available for Queen Mother? Jack, are we available for Queen Mother?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Queen Mother, these are your last words. Queen Mother, we want to thank you, especially me. I'm in New York in the 1990s, and President Reagan said, you need to go to the House of the Moses in Philadelphia. And I came here in 84, and I've been here ever since. Watch out. There's a documentary coming out for the House of Moses. But we got books. We got records. We got a lot of things. So, Queen Mother, What are our marching orders at age 90?
What was the question?
I said, what are our marching orders?
The marching orders are people in class. We are a resilient people. We have been here for 400 years. And we have been able to survive. But we are still in peace. So I think my marching orders to keep on keeping until the day comes when we are free.
Thank you. We thank you. Let's give a round of applause. We're going to move to the future of overall training. We come full circle. Let the circle be unbroken as three months make their way to the bedroom. So let's go to Monique Chibu and let us know about the impact of overall training.
Brother Maurice.
Yes.
Can you let some of the audience respond to Sister Kilana's question about the tour?
Okay. Right. So then I have a process, and then we're going to go back to that. So after we do that, because remember, Keith, Monique was with us at the Rotunda. She was with us at the Expo, and she was with us at Come Hear Me Now. So, and Monique has moved out, but that would be Monique. So we will go to her because Monique is in charge of overall training, the school. All right? Sir?
How you doing, brothers and sisters? How y'all doing tonight? Just quickly, who I am, I'm a dental lab technician. My name is Abdul. I work often with Monique Dudley, overall training. And basically what we do there is we're doing training in dental assistant, dental lab tech, future extended duty assistant. So, as you know, with dental, there's not a lot of black people that do dental, to be honest with you. In the dental lab that I work now, I am the only black man at the dental lab. So we encourage brothers and sisters to do things, just to do it, especially these professional services, take advantage. So please, if you're interested in overall training, contact Ms. Dudley ASAP. So I just wanted to say that.
Excuse me.
Anything y'all wanted to say? Anything y'all wanted to know?
Excuse me, yeah. This was Philly only. Most of my students are from New York. So,
from Pennsylvania, certified, so we can
All right. So, Bilal, brother, we thank you for the work that it is that you have done. You've been in the house longer than I have, bro. Longer than I have. So, let us know what it is you are doing now. And how is that we can assist?
I'm going to watch the car. Sorry.
Good evening, everyone. I was actually lived around the corner, a couple blocks from Sister Queen Mother Fatah and Dave Fatah. So back in the early 70s, I got involved with them and was involved with them. Still involved. So we're talking about Queen Mother Moore could tell you probably around 50 years now since the House of Moses almost started. So new, I had a organization now called the Father's Day Rally Committee. We've been in existence now this year for 32 years. We came together as a group of black men when there was no social media. There wasn't no Facebook or tweet or snapshot, any of that going on. And back then, it was a constant bombardment of negative images of black men. And we decided to challenge, particularly the news media, which was TV stations and the print media, to challenge them on this constant bombardment of negative images. And We also found out when we had our first meeting, all the brothers in the meeting, around 10 of us, we all were fathers. And we talked about this whole issue about fatherhood and promoting fatherhood and the images of black fathers. And we decided that we knew we were going to challenge the news media about negative images. We had to show them positive images. And we decided to do the Father's Day picnic. For 30 years, we did a Father's Day picnic in the city of Philadelphia and also honor fathers in the city of Philadelphia. We also, when we started the organization 32 years ago, we, back in 1990, held a press conference and said we are in a state of emergency in the city of Philadelphia around violence because it was 501 murders then. And we held a series of rallies and meetings encouraging communities to get involved to deal with the level of violence back then. So basically, that's most of the work we've been doing. We ran one of the first Rights to Passage programs in the city of Philadelphia. We run group sessions for men. We're into the Juvenile Justice Center every week, engaging young men in the center. I was there today with them. And there's a host of other activities we're doing, but it's all activities' main thrust is to promote positive images of black males in Philadelphia. Also, one of the roles I've been serving for a lot of years recently is I'm working with unifying organizations in the city of Philadelphia that are working around trying to reduce violence. We recently, as of 3 weeks ago, held a retreat out in Exton, Pennsylvania. There's 65 individuals from organizations to talk about operational unity, how we could work together. We are going to do another follow-up to that retreat in March, so I can share that information with folks. So that's kind of work I'm doing. And the inspirational part of my work, or the person who really I have to give full credit to, and I don't hesitate saying it, is Queen Mother Fatah, for her bringing me in with Dave and working with them throughout the 70s, trying to reduce gang deaths in the city of Philadelphia.
He's an excellent mentor. Excellent.
Hi. Marisa's taking a break, so up next, has everyone had an opportunity to speak? Salal, did you speak?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So just to let everyone know, I'm Jasmine Taylor Adams. This show is also being streamed on Massive Real Radio. And so in 15 minutes after the close, it'll be syndicated. Well, within 24 hours, you'll be able to find it on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Deezer, and all other, where you have an opportunity to share everything. So if we're, speaking in terms of outcome, while we're waiting for Mr. Henderson to come back, if everybody, you have, say, 30 seconds, what would you give us as an outcome that you would seek? And what's that one message you want to put out there? People are listening in. Why are Boys to Men dying so soon? So, I mean, how would you speak to that? What, if you have 30 seconds, whole world listening, what would you say? And let's start off with our share.
I think the reason why people are dying, most of the boys are dying, because I agree with Hezekiah said. I feel like we have a lack of discipline, or more so a standard. And I feel like if you were to teach kids, because what Frederick Douglass says, it's easier to prepare broken kids than it is to prepare broken men. I feel like if you fix kids when they're young, especially teenagers, like my age, by the time they get to like 21 and stuff like that, they'll have a set formula or standard that they'll go by to where their lives will become easier. So I feel like if we
if we help kids now, they'll become better.
Awesome. Bilal, you next. Bilal, can you open up?
Keith asked a question about the tour. So right about now, the schools are not allowed us to go in to schools until the fall. I do have the list of all the principals and the city of Philadelphia. But sometimes you guys look at it. This is the ad. If O'Shea is involved with his school, Bashir has a school. That may be a starting point. And then Douglas DeVucker, he has a program that Sister Kalani should be one of the stars. So that is a possibility. So now we have to ask.
Maurice, can I add that we have a few job fairs that we can absolutely have the autonomy to do a few different things strategically?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, you know, so that's what I'm saying. I couldn't use now for us to open up the door for what it is that we can do. We have a lot of performers and speakers that can assist Bilal with Five State Valley. We have a lot of things that have availability. So my question is, what can we offer, what it is that we can do. One of the things about the tour, I want to make sure that we have David Mamajama film documentary, the House of the Moses film documentary, the new House of the Moses, House of the Moses movie, the new House of the Moses documentary. I think Bill Al's on it. I'm on it. I think Rob is on it. I think Jose is on it. And I think Keith is on it. So we have projects. We have pilot projects. We have professional vision going. So my ask is what all it is that we can bring to the table to make things happen in terms of a campaign, a mission to march us into the future. And then when we get to the 8th of y'all, it's going to be all videos, all the products, and then we will let the music and the words do the talking. We will hear from Douglas Rucker, Joseph Gunbound. We will hear from Sister Kalan. We will hear from different people. I am going to charge OSEC. If you can load up anything from what it is that you have from your music catalog, that would be good. If Rob can load up anything, I think Monique is going to load up a certain thing. So I want us to have a positive discharge, some kind of outcome-based asset measure. Because now we are a thought leader that can leave this earth better than how we found it. So I'm not going to be eight, but as one of the senior members, Bilal, what's your thought on this? You know, one day we all gonna be free. So Abdul is traveling because that's what overall trainers do. They hit the road now. So let's go to Rob. Rob comes from much from Atlanta. Let me not be shy. Rob hangs out with Larry Lab, hangs out with Larry Cook. He's from ADAC, he's from National Black Arts Book Award Tour, and I am in Harvard, studying at Harvard, adolescent self-destruction. And I said, Rob, this will not go well. And when you come back to Philly, and he came back, and he's done a phenomenal job. So Rob, you're alive. Is anyone muted? How does this thing work?
I'm asking.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Now, what we doing?
Right, so what I'm saying, so now we're talking about going to tour, showing the film, having book sales, a performance. How do you play a role in this? Because you know, we got a book, we got a performance.
and you can speak. So what role do you think that you play?
Well, due to my passions and my calling with people and my gift with writing, I love structure, I love organization, I love coming up with plans and developing applicable means to be able to put things in place. I love when we sit down and come together, you know, with a cohesiveness, you know, bringing our ideas and our expertise together. But now it's time to implement. You know, we got to be willing to understand structure and organization, be willing to put the right people in the right place. And it's not about stature. It's not about, you know, anybody trying to have prestige, but it's about putting the right person with the right heart and the right vision and the right experience to lead in that area. And for us to come together and just move forward. And I'm a part of being able to bring my words, my experience, my education, and my organizational skills to be able to do whatever, you know, to be able to creatively think outside the box and most of all, many times, throw the box away to be able to come up with, you know, the right ideas. You know, we got to go on what tradition says to do. We have to look at the condition of the people and what the hearts of the people and the needs of the people and to hear from the people and then apply our skills, our gifts, our talents, and expertise to develop the necessary fundamentals to be able to help facilitate the goals and objectives of the people. So.
And then, so, we're live here at the house. And Dr. Jones, back on the line. But one thing, let me say it one more time. Jerome is here. Monique and Jerome. Dr. Jones, let's make this here thing happen. And, you know, all of the doctors, soon to be doctors, we're going to need your work to survive. So let's go to Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones, welcome back. Dr. Jones?
I'm here. Thank you.
All right. So tell us about what you found out when you started working with juvenile justice. What did you find out?
Well, one of the things I found out was, now I'll say that this that was really important. I grew up in West Philadelphia, you know, down the bottom, faced a lot of challenges. And my experience was that a lot of students were dropping out of school, dropping out of, you know, their whole K-12 experience and not going further than that. And when I got to college, I found the same thing. A lot of students, especially African Americans, were dropping out of school. And I felt that there was something that I needed to do further. I ran a program on campus called Act 101 where low-income first-generation students were coming to college, but still were all these struggles. And that's kind of what inspired me to write this book because I saw that and really it applies to what's been happening with the students in COVID-19 because a lot of them, you know, a lot of them have not been learning like they should be learning over the last couple of years. We're going to send them to college and they're really not prepared for college or even some trade school. And so study habits is a big issue. And that was the first book I decided to write called Seven Teachers of How to Study because I wanted to give K-12, especially those high school, middle school and first year college students strategies on how to earn the best grades and what are the things that work in terms of managing their time and procrastination and how they can get over the procrastination toward their goals and achieve their goals. And then I wrote a book for the parents. I wrote a scholarship book. I've kind of traveled all over the country really trying to reduce the dropout rate and increase the graduation rate in working with these students. I think, you know, a lot of it is, you know, we want them to build a house, but we're not equipping them or giving them the tools to build the house. And so that's been my goal, to give them the tools in terms of how to study, how to take a test, how to manage their time, how to be more organized, how to get over test-taking anxiety. A lot of our children have test-taking anxiety. Just the idea that to sit down and take this test can throw them off. So just giving them the strategies that will help them be successful in those areas has been a mission of the last 20 years or so the various books that I've written. And I continue to go out and do seminars and webinars, and now I have online courses to help the students to learn how to study as well. And really just want to, I want to reach a million people. I want to reach millions of people with these courses and help them to be successful. That's my goal.
And then, you know, so as I'm here with Jackie Taylor out with Master Real, one of the things that we're trying to do, I'm trying to create a people of color networking programming and activities and events to go on tour. So we have the apparatus for television, radio, film, and publishing. It is us. It is up to us to do the work. A long time ago now, the Black Men's Council started. This was in the 90s. I had no idea that this would be a movement. And Osei said, listen, remember the Black Men's Conference? Remember the African-American Male Empowerment Summit? Osei was in part of that. And, you know, to be in Mississippi with Osei, to be in Michigan with Osei, to be in Philadelphia, New Jersey, and D.C. Now it's time for us to shut it down, lock it down, and show up. It is our duty to move this thing forward. We go from age 9 to 3 months to Bashir to 18. That's a lot of decades. That's a lot of generations. That's a lot of millennials that we have to take advantage of and be responsible. So, and I say, you know, baby mama drama. Girls mature earlier than boys. And certain things happen in the womb and in the belly. So what, and that's our industry. Now we step outside, we see who we are. And to know folks for 35 years, 40 years, and we are still here. And that's why we are here. So I keep asking folks, how do I know you all? Jerome said 20 years, Osei said at least 35. Dr. Jones, I'm not going to ask you, you know, how long it has been. But it's been a long time. So where do we go from here? You know, I've been on Bilal since the 80s. He's still looking young. And then don't thank me. Thank the ancestors. Thank the elders. Thank the griots. Thank those who have come before us. I always say, the sins of the fathers fall surely on those who have addressed us. The greatness falls upon our shoulders. We have to leave this world better than how we found it. We have to turn the tide. We have to be change agents. We have to make sure that we counter the conspiracy to destroy Black folks. We are more than a conqueror. We are made for this. Osei, this is your time to talk to them. My brother, the king.
All right, brother. I must say, learn, know, and do. Learn our assignment, what we have to do to get ourselves right and our children right. Know the importance of failure and change that. Bring that structure in and build our children up. And do whatever is necessary to ensure that our children survive. You know, one of the things, we have had this conversation, I had this conversation with Maurice for 30 years. How do we do it? How do we save our children and make them make them valuable. And my one word for that is to engage, and engage that at every level. I think that is most important. And the communication between the different organizations, I think that's important. We need to know, we need to have a whole directory of every organization, every resource that we have, a one-stop shop. And with that, anybody that comes to you, I don't care if it's for housing, medical services, jobs, we can point you to one website that's ours, that belongs to us, and they can click on it, and it will connect us. We will be interconnected, and I think that's the most important thing. These are the things that we should set up, mini meetings, ongoing meetings, to ensure that these things can, you know, these things can happen for us and by us.
And you know, so also you mentioned to me about sales victimization. And Monique from Overall Training, everything I learned, everything I know, I got in public case. Monique is getting me to work on a dictionary. And so now, okay, I got you. So I'm working on a directory of Black World Influence. And this is I got you. So I don't sleep until I get things done. Bashir, are you on?
Yeah.
So, Bashir, as the newly elected president of the Association of African American Young Entrepreneurs, and you better know it, you better put it in the pocket. Any school you want to go to, I can pick up the phone and call the president. I can call the deans. I can call the alumni. As Jerome said, I met the president of one school. Who does this? Okay. No, so tell us, what is your desire? What do you like most? You don't play them again.
Would you like them?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you mean by like. I mean, this thing here is a lot. I mean.
Okay. Okay. So speak to your future. And your child's future?
Well, I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a defense attorney. I want to be the biggest defense attorney in the country. And then probably run for U.S. Attorney General.
And then so I laugh and joke, and both they know this to be true. For my tour, we have 10 members who are lawyers. They ain't never lost a case. as long as you ask about your wants, needs, and desires, we are available for that. So as I speak to Ope, he tells me that he's been around for a long year, and he requires for us to be in his life. So Ope, when you've been in the life of us for all these years, what was it, and what did it look like in your past, in your present, and your future?
I think it was stabilizing for me, because I came around at 23. So at 23, I have one foot in the street and one foot out. So having men around me that can not only provide answers, but to provide direction, help me mature much faster. Men that you can actually reach out to at any time of the night, and actually, you know, they actually become your circle, part of your inner circle. And that helped me to mature, change my mindset, and at the same time, they brought history with it. So once I learned better about my history, you know, my conversations changed. People, places, and things began to change. So things that I would gravitate to, because all of my friends was in the street. Everybody was in a game. So I made it a little bit more easier for me just to move away from that and stay focused on saving my community and saving, you know, saving my people.
Right, okay. So who's next? What about Brother Jerome? Has he had his turn? Bilal? Okay, Bilal,
yeah.
Can you move more now? One moment, Brother Jerome. Bilal.
Yeah.
There you go. We've been trying to get you on.
I talked earlier.
Like I said, you've been with the house more than long than I have. I've been knowing you for over 35 years. And so, the Father's Day rally, what does that look like for a young person, a young father like Bashir, who's in need of help? What would that look like?
We are two things we're doing. One is that we're reorganized. This is our 32nd year. We're getting new board members on board, and we're trying to refocus back on the whole issue about fathers. And I mean by refocus is our name is the Father's Day Rally Committee, but to really spend more time developing programs and initiatives to support fathers. Because we realize two things, and I talked to the Queen Mother about this, is that one, the black community has to take ownership of this issue that the state that we're in. No one else is going to solve this problem but us. So we got to take ownership. And the ownership has to be clearly, in my eyesight and the members of my board, is clearly how we get more and more fathers involved in this and daughters' lives. So that's what we're going to be doing, a lot of activities this year, 2022, as we move forward. And we're open. I mean, the young brothers, if he's a father, we'd love to have him become part of the organization.
Hey, Abdul, how did you leave the house and get on the road and then bring your child on? This is overall over 10. Bro, what's going on, bro?
We're going to say I move fast, man. Say hi to Anaya. Say hi. She's four years old, my daughter.
Mr. Abdul has been a teacher and has been my rock for years. We've been in the classroom, in the street, on the stage, and everywhere else with each other. So I just want to let you know, Mr. Abdul, right now in front of everyone, that I appreciate you at 100%. I just thank you so much. The gratitude. Thank you.
No problem. I appreciate you as well.
And Queen Mother has said that she likes the comments that come from Sister Kalani Bashir to be a part of Youth Next Day. So somebody just said, Jackie, what a crazy mind. Jackie said, that's transgender. That's put a lot of this discussion in writing. So and that's my great expectation that lies is that we can do. Because we have a lot of stuff in the House of Mojo magazine from Osei and Rob and 10 other writers from California, Atlanta, throughout the country. So this is what it is that we need to do. You know, so my publishing house has been dormant for a while. I want to give that to Jackie and Jerome. My recording is I'm going to give to Hezekiah. Hezekiah, that includes this video. So the whole idea, Keith has walked down Dustin, he has Elijah, and he has the House of Reconciliation. We have properties, we have intellectual property, we have civil rights, and we have the global creative economy. So that's important. So let me ask you a question. No one ever said, let me do a theme song, PSA, for the House of Reconciliation. No one said, let me do a theme song, PSA, for OR Training. No one never said, let me do a theme song for the House of Jamoto. Jackie said, and then no one said, do a something for the CDC to selling. So these are whole ideas that it is that we
Keith.
Yes.
The casting. What do you say?
About 2 weeks, I'll be casting for a new television series in South Philadelphia. I'm shooting a television series called Point Breeze, where I'll be trying to discuss things and deal with issues dealing with gentrification, things that black folks are not doing, trying to teach them how we can be a part of this gentrification. And also stop public violence.
No, so we have a lot of things. So let me impose you to say, for everyone, what do you think that your commitment could be short-term and long-term?
As ambassador.
And then
commitment is what? What are you talking about committing
okay.
to? Right. Word is bond. Like, so I want to know what I'm getting into before I bond my words.
All right.
To what?
Okay. Would you like to contribute or value yourself?
Okay. I have a I'm this summer and spring MCCP, Miss Casanova. I'm doing their hip hop jazz. I'm their booking person for the hip hop jazz festival, so we can add these dates. So we're going to add some of these artists. What's the sister name that was on here earlier?
Lana.
With the Haji?
Yeah.
I want to talk to her about performing at these also.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
So let me help y'all.
Okay.
Ose performs. Ilani performs. Rob. I am, but we have a whole school of performers from the House of Moses.
I'm trying to tell you what I have to offer.
So I'm making a contribution to you. So Jackie has a whole list of mass school of performers, from Neo Soul, Nation Conscious Rap, and spoken words. So we're there for you. Continue.
Good. Okay. And so, yeah, I would love to contribute that. We're starting workshops conjunction with Serato Sample. So my boy OP Miller, which is an old friend of mine, he's the product developer for Serato Sample, and also my old DJ that used to tour with me is now the product developer for Serato Sample, Serato Studio also, and that's how they can hook me up with I was the first person, the first artist to demonstrate their equipment, the first producer, if you look the video up. And that's how I got that position, because I'm also the creator of Beat Society Live. And all this is in conjunction with Beat Society Live. This summer, I will be bringing Knife Wonder to Philadelphia with the producer Knot, which is my old friend that produces Busta Rhymes and everybody else, Crisis. All this is my Beat Society alumni crew, the people that I help make famous, bringing them all to Philly. We're doing shows. We put some local acts on there, too. And I wanted to make it a big deal, and I would love to have everybody involved in this, like, this big event, and because it's about the kids. And my goal is with these kids, I wanted to give them the foundation, because they say give a man a fish, and for a day, you teach him how to fish, he'll live forever. What is the fish? Q-Tip said the fish is the key. And what is the key? Now, Q-Tip from A Tribe Called Quest said, if knowledge is the key, then just show me the lock. If knowledge is the key, then just show me the lock. X-Clan says, this is protected by the red, the black, and the green with a key. Right? Jay-Z and all them said, I got the keys is the knowledge. And then one of y'all earlier said, yeah, you get a whole bunch of knowledge, and you know, but you need guidance. So 5% is called that right now. There's a difference between knowledge, because it gets jumping. And then there's the difference between right knowledge and your guidance. So we are here to guide these young people with right knowledge and knowledge itself, which can free them from this mental slavery, right? Because if you can see through the bullshit, which is word magic, because then they got to understand word magic too. So you got to understand how we got here, how we got divided as black men and black youth. The youth and the F. So, instead of wisdom, we became old heads. How did that happen? Well, after the 70s and the crack epidemic that came in the 90s. These 80 babies grew up in the 90s, right? So what came at that? Oh, you had bad boys. You were saying you grew up, you went to prison homeboy earlier, and you was a bad boy in the street. Well, what did bad boy do? What did Puffy do? Oh, Puffy, and forgive him, because I think he learned his lesson. What Puffy did was take the knowledge, and these kids couldn't get the knowledge from the conscious rap. So how did he do that word match? What was the word? What did he call us? A thinking people that was trying to get these kids to think. A magic word, just like anti-Semite, just like homophobic, where you can't talk about it. What's the magic word where you can't listen to us? He called us player haters. Made it uncool to listen to conscious rappers, to logic, and to thinking, and to critical thinking became non-cool. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
Let me finish. But we got to give them knowledge of tongue and knowledge of their tongue. There's God in your tongue. There's G-O-D, generator, operator, destroyer. You got to teach them the more lessons, the more's lessons. Generate. You have a double-edged sword in your tongue, like Wu-Tang. You can turn that words into a sword. The words is double-edged. You can generate or destroy. So you can generate. And anything, everything from your tongue has karma.
Okay, all right.
We're going to give them that knowledge yourself.
All right, hold on. So let me say this to you as I'm getting text. There's a thing called 1 minute lecture. It's a TED talk.
I'm sorry, y'all was going for a while, so I thought I'd talk, and I thought I'd cram it up pretty nice.
It's a 1 minute lecture. And it's a TED talk. And then it's an elevator. That's what young people need to hear from us. A lot of times we don't quote resources. We don't quote ideas. We don't quote where to go.
You said what I'm bringing to the table. I was bringing bullet points.
Okay.
I'm not doing quotes. These are headlines. Bullet points.
So I hear you. But then, we're looking for resources. And I hear what it is that you are saying. Teachable moment and learning episode is this, in what sense can you offer? You offer your services as a networker, a communicator, and as a collaborator. And you have the music, you have entertainment, and you have art and performing arts. So that's how we move to a level where it is that we need to have understanding. No harm, no foul. But we have a lot of people online. If anyone talks that long, then I have to shut people off. I didn't mean to harm. I apologize.
I swear if you look at the timer, I swear I didn't talk that long. Because they're saying I went over my time limit. But now y'all on the sideline tripping, throwing up hand signs. I'm thinking y'all set tripping. Like set tripping, like my set time, my stage time. They saying my stage time was 20 minutes. They saying I went over my time limit. Now y'all stand on the sideline tripping. Now y'all throwing up hand signs. I'm starting to think y'all set trips. You know what I'm saying? Like, did you look at the time, the actual time? Because I can cram things, just because I can squeeze the speech into a haiku, passes to the real time, because I can make time seem like it's going by faster than it is.
Okay. Let me come back strong. If people don't receive it, and then they may ask you to say it in a sense. Can you give it to me in a sense what you just said?
Can I say it in a sentence, what I just said?
Yeah, one sentence. No more than seven words.
Like what? What part?
Like what it is that you're trying to explain.
Everything? Knowledge yourself. Knowledge yourself before peace, love, unity, and having fun. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding before peace, love, unity, and having fun.
One sentence. I am just saying how it is that we move, because you can do a pitch, you know, and you know, it's affirmation. So, you know, I'm just trying to ask, because if somebody, if Penn here is
familiar with Penn, I'm doing. I have a video production, but the video productions are cool. That's why I mentioned the shows. The shows are the things that I'm still booking out right now, as far as what I'm doing with my structure. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Okay. All right. So Langston says, I too sing America. I am the doctor. They send me to the kitchen to eat when company comes. I laugh and I eat well and I go strong. But tomorrow I'll be at the table when company comes. And no one will say, they say to me, eat in the kitchen then. Besides, they'll see how beautiful I am and be ashamed. I too sing America. Calmness. What happens to a change at first? Does it dry up like a faithful sun or fester like a sword and rock? Does it sink like ripe meat, crushed into over a seven feet? Does it sag like a heavy load or does it explode? What happens to a change at first? Clock me on this. The same. You know, because this is sponsored by the University of Pennsylvania. And as they listen and they need speakers, I have to classify who we are and make a choice. But they choose us. That's what it is that I'm saying. So let's go in. Bro, are we cool? Ezekiel, are we cool? And Ezekiel,
why would you?
Hey, Ezekiel, question. What is your name mean in the Bible?
Well, Ezekiel is he who God gave strength to. He was the king of Judah, tribe of Judah, the one that brought all the tribes together. My older brother is a 5%er. My brother, he has cerebral palsy, which is why my studio closed, because I was taking care of him during the pandemic because the nurses quit. I took care of him. So I took care of him during the pandemic. He's a Rasta. So I was raised under a Rasta, then I was raised under a Kasa. Kasa is a friend of Bob Marley's, you know, mother, you know, and because I'm from Delaware and Marley's from Delaware, you know, Kasa raised us as far as the Rasta knowledge. Then my cousin is Muslim. If you look at my forgiveness video, I got my cousin drumming. She's Muslim with the hijab, so I understand the sister's gripe with it. Muslim community, not letting her sing and stuff like that. So my cousin went through the same thing as a drummer. She's in my video drumming. Diversity is very important.
Okay, so I'm asking all my artists, Kelani, Jose, Rob, whomever else, for the word. Let's go into quotes from your signature pieces, which you are known for. No more than 1 minute. And I Hezekiah, you include. Who wants to go first?
Maurice.
Yes.
I'm going to have to disconnect.
Okay.
I have to disconnect. But I just want to end with this, Brother Hezekiah, man. You spoke truth, but I want to make sure that we connect. So, Maurice, you know, give you my number, and we can have a further conversation on all you said. But I would say this, what we had here was very important, necessary. We should have this more often. This should not be a one-time event. And peace and blessing to all of y'all and everything that you bring to the table for our people. All right?
Thank you. All right. So, as an M, no more than...